Harper, do you do what all the other kids do, which is just touch a non-touch screen with your finger?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Why don't I go?
Go.
We've got an Apple TV, and my son, like, when we turn off the TV, TV's like pretty low, and he can, but he like he'll touch the app that he wants, like on the TV, and I've politely requested that he not do that.
It's not working, huh?
No.
Why is your TV so dumb, Joey?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is April 7th, 2024, and this is episode 695. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials. This show, we're going to discuss the last week of Pacers basketball with a good showing, the 3-1 record with games at home against Brooklyn, away against Brooklyn, at home versus Oklahoma City, and at home against the Miami Heat. Joining me this show are all three of our analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the high school home of Jameson Brewer, Silver Spring, Maryland, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Belated shout-out. I gave a bunch of birthday shout-outs last week, but I missed one. Sweet Jay, drummer in our band, had a birthday on Thursday. So happy birthday to you, buddy.
Shout-out. Belated shout-out.
Happy birthday.
From Asheville, North Carolina, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles. It's the chronic exacerbator.
What is up, Pacer Nation? What is up, Undebeatables? Quick thank you to everybody that wished me happy birthday last week. Sorry I wasn't available for the show, but appreciate everybody's well wishes. Had a great time in Indy. I'm sure Joe and I will get to talk about going to the game. And, shout out to the apocalypse moon shutting down. What's going on? I don't know. The earth is going to go dark. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared it's happening today, I guess. Like when you're listening to this. The world may have already ended when you're listening to this. I don't know.
I don't think that works.
I'm so nervous. The sun is being blotted out by something. Evil? I don't know.
The cool thing is, if you start our show when the eclipse starts, you're in for a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. Also, you also play Dark Side of the Moon at the same time too.
Yep.
So it's the apocalypse. Okay.
And I would never forget. In Boise, Tacoma, Washington, out west, it's our enforcer, Sean Harper.
What is going on, fellas? Shout out to Herb Simon this week, newest member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, joining a class that included Vince Carter, Chauncey Billups, and somehow Jerry West again.
I see.
Sure.
This is. Third time being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So, as a player, as a coach, and as an executive, is that what's going on?
As a player, as a member of the 1960 Olympic team, and as a contributor for being a historically great GM when he was not busy winning other stuff.
When he wasn't trading Klay Thompson so that Golden State could win three more titles or whatever? Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. I'd put him in the Hall of Fame for that.
Well, I got one more shout out before we get into the show. I don't know if you guys saw this. You know our two-way player, Oscar Swiebe.
Yeah.
He got G League Rookie of the Year.
Nice.
Nice.
Averaging 16 rebounds a game.
Out.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that is intense.
We could use some of that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. 16.4 points, 16.1 rebounds a game. That is not bad. I know he's... You know, he believes his gift is rebounding, and he ain't wrong.
I believe, unfortunately.
One more shout out, Joey. Shout out to the Lady Gamecocks from South Carolina, won the national title today, beating Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's a pretty entertaining game, but it kind of helps. It reminded me that basketball is a business of height. The taller you all are, you tend to do a lot better. And South Carolina was taller at every position and grabbed all of the offensive rebounds, I believe.
Yeah, they had 6 of the 7 best players on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that the much deeper team, too. I think Iowa had 0 points from their bench. I think it was like 37-0 bench scoring. So
yeah, there's that. It's you want to win a title, it's helpful to get some points from your bench.
Yeah, yeah. The most complete team tends to win on that kind
that's
of stage.
That's the beautiful thing about basketball.
Well, the Fever are looking to maybe complete their team, or at least start that process. And next Monday, April 15th, tax day.
Mm-hmm.
They are the Fever are having a draft party, and I'm going to try and get there. It's a free draft party. Sweet. With thing. You know, it's an event outside, and then as the draft starts, then it moves inside to the big screen. So try and get down there. If you're in Indy and can get there, it should be a lot of fun.
Well, and so, also shout out to Aaliyah Boston, our rookie of the year. She was doing commentary on ABC for college women's basketball. She's just incredibly charismatic and poised, and you know, she's a star along with Caitlin Clark. We are Fever is set up to be incredible for the coming future here.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. All right, we had 4 games of Pacer basketball this week. The first one, Colson, you and I got to attend.
Whoop.
Monday, April 1st at the Fieldhouse, and Pacers win this one 133-111. This game was blowout start to finish. Pacers were just raining threes and doing everything you need to do, and Brooklyn looked bad basically at every position. Dennis Schroeder got booed off the floor, which was... And this game was never close. Colson, we'll talk about it a little bit later on this one. So then the Pacers take a trip 2 days later to Boston, or to Brooklyn, sorry, and play the Nets again. And I'm thinking, hey, they got this one in the bag. I just watched this game. It was a old school whooping. And that's not what it was. Brooklyn took down the Pacers 115-111. And the game was certainly much more contested. And then Brooklyn just pulled away at the end. Good standout performances from Pascal Siakam and Halliburton. Now, Halliburton, you know, we can talk about this more later. Halliburton seems to have shook some of the slump that was kind of plaguing him post All-Star break. He's been much better. I still don't think he's quite where he was before, but he's been better. And, you know, Obi Toppin had a fun game this one. But Pacers come up short. at this point of the season, all the games are big with the playoff seeding. Nothing is settled still yet at this point. So the Pacers are going to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder Friday at home. And it's a big one. And they win 126-112. Helped out by 38 points they scored 30 plus in the first three quarters and really, really put Oklahoma City away, kind of front to back. Big games again out of Siakam. Halliburton gets his 11 assists. Nesmith and Turner, 17 and 16 points. And, you know, on the Oklahoma City side, Chet Holmgren was really fun to watch, but SGA did not play, which may have had a little bit of something to do with the turnout for that one. And last game of the week, Sunday, April 7th, Pacers taking on Eastern Conference rivals, the Miami Heat, and take this one down, 117-115. Super close down at the end, but Pacers manage in a very important win. We had seven guys in double figures, 22 points for TJ McConnell off the bench, and Miles Turner dropped 22 and 13 rebounds. Pretty sweet. Anyway, it's a 3-1 week. We're coming towards the end of the season here. It's a good time to have 3-1 weeks of Pacers basketball. We've been playing pretty well as of late, so it's been nice. Colson, I guess I want to go to you first. You know, you got to go to the game in Indy. You know, what did you think of the experience, the game, you know, your company?
You're incredibly charming, Joey. Oh, wow. I also did introduce Erica to her first Pacer game, and we had a blast. The halftime show was the guy that puts stuff on his chin.
Oh,
he just put a lot of stuff on his chin. It was like a wheelbarrow. Like, yeah, it was wild. But this game was I'm not going to say over by the first quarter, but like it kind of was. We just put it on them. And it was great energy in the crowd. We were, I thought for kind of a blowout, people were pretty engaged until about mid third quarter. And everybody was like, all right, we got this. We're going home. The exceptions being when Miles Turner like broke his finger, jammed his finger. His finger went all sideways and awkward. It was real gross. It was gross.
Dislocated.
Okay. And then he went into the tunnel and everybody was all worried and the whole bench was laughing because I think he was showing everybody his all messed up finger. Yeah, and they were all grossed out by it. Yeah. And it was like nervous laughter and we were trying to figure out what's going on. And then he had to come out and he had to shoot free throws because otherwise he's done for the rest of the game, which he ended up being anyway. But if you don't shoot those free throws, you're done for the game. So he comes out and he shoots left-handed and hits both, or hits one of the two. Not bad. Which made him still eligible.
That's why you practice left-handed from time to time, huh? Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
And then the other time was the Jalen Smith, Dennis Schroeder dust-up, as we mentioned.
Kerfuffle.
Schroeder swiped the ball, kind of it knocked off his goggles, Jalen Smith's goggles, and Smith took exception, shoved him, got ejected, and boy, the crowd was not happy about it. We were decided that Schroeder was a flopper, and every time he touched the ball, we booed him, and it was getting real scary. I mean, there was a lot of anger in the place. I thought the refs were getting scared. I thought everybody's and coach was getting scared. Wow. He put Schroeder on the bench and never came back out. There was some real vitriol in the crowd. So anyway, that was the game, and we destroyed him. It was great. It was super fun. Lots of highlight dunks. Lots of threes. It was great.
Yeah. Well, and not to belabor this, but when Schroeder looked like he had hit Smith in the face on purpose. So that's
there's a why second the swipe. Felt the way they the did. First one looked like an accident, and then he came down on his. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, to be fair, I thought Smith gave him a little extra on the way through there too. And it's like, you know, when you're big, it gives a little guy a little extra, and then you get a little extra from the little guy. Like, how mad are you allowed to be?
About I think that? You don't go after somebody's eyes. I think is the idea. Maybe I don't know.
He's got goggles on.
Don't take my goggles off, Harper.
Is that like throwing down the gloves when in hockey?
Or you rip somebody's goggles off?
If you take the goggles off?
Take the goggles off?
I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, it took the ref a really long time, so the crowd is getting antsy. It should have been a wait. Yeah, it should have been a shorter. Kick out Smith. Kick them both out. Like, whatever.
Whatever. Fine. It didn't matter. It took forever. Like you said, if it wasn't over in the first, it sure was over in the second.
Exactly. Well, and I'm with Joe. Like I was just convinced after watching this game that there was just no way that this Brooklyn team could ever beat us. We just looked dominant in every position. They looked hapless. They were just throwing it out of bounds. They couldn't complete passes or they couldn't get layups. They couldn't get like they nothing. Couldn't secure rebounds. They just looked, like the Washington Generals. I was convinced they were never going to win another game, and then, of course, they won the next game against us. So, what do I know?
It's good to be at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have Miles Turner, who had to miss that game because of the injury he sustained in the the first Nets game. And, I mean, that game was tough. Pacers definitely had a chance to win that. Oh, yeah. Were up most of the first half, if I remember right. And then... came out super flat in the third quarter, let Brooklyn build a 13-point lead, clawed their way back into it, and then in the fourth quarter, just dominant performance from Pascal Siakam. I think he scored, I have no idea, 17 straight buckets or something like that. It was incredible.
Absolutely on fire.
He was absolutely on fire. But gave up a late offensive rebound that led to a three-pointer by
Schroeder.
Mikal Bridges, I think. That sealed the deal. Tough loss for the Pacers there. I thought, you know, it's always tough when you have winnable games, especially down the stretch, you're playing for a playoff position.
It's a bad loss.
Yeah. Especially when you get a decent game. You know, Haliburton had a pretty decent game. I mean, we couldn't buy a three. That was the thing in this game.
Yeah.
You know, if we make
that's my memory of this game as well. Fine. Yeah, but, just yeah. Everything is bricking from the range.
I thought Coach summed it up pretty well. He said it was an uneven compete level for us tonight. The second quarter was our undoing, and the second half we just left too much to chance.
That's
exactly what happened in that game.
Shoot 26% from the range.
Yeah, they
range.
Mentioned something about it being like an immature loss too. Like it sounded like the guys went out and had a good time in New York the night before or something like that. And they were like, we can't do that.
Yeah, not this late.
Or maybe it was after the OKC win. I think whoever got the post-game interview was said something to that effect. A nice bounce-back game against OKC. They definitely looked refocused. Obviously, it's with an asterisk because OKC was missing both SGA and Jalen
Williams. Just their two best players.
Their two best players. And, and they made it competitive for stretches, but kudos to the guys. Played pretty well. Got a dub.
You take the win at this point. And, of course, asterisks, but we're fighting for playoff positioning here, so we'll take it.
Yep. And got the balanced scoring that we lacked in that Nets game. It was... it was all Haliburton and Siakam in that game with OB chipping in 14. Nobody else broke double figures, which is normally not a sign of success for us.
Right. And the bench really made a difference in this game. Pacers came out flat to start the game, got down, and then the bench unit came in and led by TJ McConnell, who ended up with a double-double, I believe. He had 12 points and... 10 assists, I guess. No, 16 points and 10 assists. Just really, I mean, the way that guy's been playing over the last month and a half
is absolutely incredible.
Like, he should be in the sixth man of the year conversation.
Yeah. Like, is he like not?
Legit, you know?
He's not on any of the odd sheets.
He was nominated for Teammate of the Year, though, however.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's in the, there's a 12-person race for the Teammate of the Year.
How do...
I don't know.
Do media members vote
on
that?
No, it's team. It's the teams nominate them, and they do six from each conference. And he's
so at least some of these teams can't get together on a unanimous vote for this award. Is that what you're telling me? They are so poorly led.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Should we figure out who we nominate for our team? Nah, just pick your favorite guy.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then today, in frankly the biggest game of the year, this is a playoff game against the Miami Heat. Pacers came to play and really put it on them. I mean, I only caught sort of the fourth quarter of this game, but Pacers were up by 22 in the first half. Miami claws their way back, as they always do, because they're Miami, and make it close down the stretch. But the Pacers, I thought, made some really clutch plays down the stretch. Aaron Nesmith getting an and one down the stretch, and Pascal Siakam. And, you know, it's nice to see as we head into the playoffs, you know, we always talk about what is going to be your bread and butter play that gets you a bucket, you know, in crunch time. And I think the Pacers have settled on this Haliburton-Siakam pick and roll, which is pretty lethal. Mm-hmm. Not only because... you know, both those guys are fantastic players, but they're both great playmakers. So you get a lot of secondary action off of the pick and roll. So even after Haliburton, you know, dishes to Siakam, he can score or create a play for another player. And it's just beautiful basketball, I think. And shout out to the longest tenured Pacer, Miles Turner, who had an awesome game. 22 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, couple clutch free throws at the end of the game on a ghost foul by Bam Adebayo.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we will take it. Yeah. Way to answer that call against a DPOY candidate and Bam Adebayo. Is really a good game for him, and playing through some pain, no doubt, as well. That whatever happened to that finger has not healed yet. Ugh. Really like the competition level from Haliburton on Butler today. Got 2 blocks in, with 2 feet in the paint on him, which was awesome. And the bench, again. I mean, the bench played better than our starters most of this game. McConnell is, you know, 22 points on 11 of 14 shooting. I mean, just an incredible game from him. Again, still. And he was out there in crunch time, which is cool to see. He deserved minutes.
And it didn't really show up in the... Well, I mean, I guess it kind of shows up in the stat sheet because he got a bunch of assists. But Haliburton, you know, he only scores 12 points in this game, only took 10 shots. But he was really instrumental down the stretch. Like, when we needed clutch buckets, he was, like, setting things up and creating, you know, fouls or easy shots for his teammates. And, like, really, you know, as you mentioned, Joey, you can tell he's getting back into his groove. It's not... you know, fully dominant like it was the first half of the season or first, you know, whatever third of the season, but we're seeing it in flashes where he can just take over games, and it's
well, his shooting is down the last 3 games significantly. I mean, he was 9 of 22 against Brooklyn, and then I think he realized his shooting wasn't going that well, maybe because he's only put up 10 shots a game essentially since then, the last couple games. And you expect to see kind of, you know, he averages over 20 points a game. You expect to see more than that. But I'm with you. If he's just feeling like I'm not hitting the shots and I'm going to dominate in other ways, you know, dominate with the defense, dominating that pick and roll. He's excellent at sharing the rock. I did hear that he's had some back soreness that's given him some trouble maybe last couple of games, but he's still making an imprint, even if it's not in the scoring department. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. He had a couple threes that could have gone late in that game too. He had looks that we know he can hit, and ends up 2 of 7. But you know, he's 4 of 7, and we got a lot more breathing room down the stretch.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's really difficult to get out there and play against that set Miami defense. You know, we're up, you know, whatever it was, 8 points with 5 minutes to go or something, and you start playing this slow brand of basketball that we just
and they're so good at making you do it.
And they're so
good. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they slow the game down. They're so good at getting to the line. And they do that Miami thing. It was a really solid win. That's the most important regular season game we've seen in quite a few years.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's right. So we go into that game with a half-game lead over them for the sixth position, and, you know, now we have a game and a half clearance over them. Although Philly is charging strong. They've won 4 straight.
Still have a game and a half over them, though, as well, right?
Have a game and a half over them, although they're currently in a game right now. They're in double overtime with San Antonio.
I'd be fine with them losing that one.
No Embiid tonight on the second half of a back-to-back.
I just, you know...
Go Wimby!
Go Wimby. The thing is this: if we lose this Miami game... You know, we're most likely going to be in the play-in, right? And this was a game to decide, and not completely. A lot of things can still happen, but this game was maybe the game to decide the sixth seed, and we won it. That's a big boy pants win.
Absolutely. And great. The crowd was awesome in this game, I thought, especially down the stretch. You know, you get just... Like I said, excellent efforts from Neesmith, who made some clutch shots. Siakam making clutch plays. Like you mentioned, Harper, the bench, you know, looking like the number one bench in the league.
OB hit a couple all season. Big threes in a row when they had cut it from 12 to 6 and just put it right back out there.
OB.
Really solid contributions up and down this. Up and down
OB screen. Has just been looking fantastic. I mean, you know, does he get the. I mean, I guess McConnell gets the game ball this week, but OB Toppin has been fantastic as well.
We also made OB guard Butler a lot today. So.
Here, go have fun.
Yeah.
Kudos for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite moment from the week, I think, was after the Brooklyn game, the first Brooklyn game, the big blowout. I was watching it, or had flipped it on here or something like that, and then went to do something and came back, and so they were doing the press conferences, and it was Halliburton, and then Toppin was coming in, and Toppin was making fun of him, I guess, for missing a dunk that he had or whatever, and Halliburton was like, it's like, no, I got hops, you know, I got that one, because he did have that one really nice dunk, and he's like, yeah, you got that one, but you missed the one you should have had or whatever, and so... I guess Halliburton and Buddy Hield were always jawing with one another about who was the best dunker, because they're both pretty crappy dunkers.
Really small.
And so Halliburton like FaceTimes Buddy Hield in the press conference. Like calls. He's like, hey, do I got hops? And he's like, yeah, I saw that. That was awesome. So, it was just a cool moment. Fun. I thought. So Pacers, we're in the last week of the season, guys. So 3 games left. Pacers at Toronto on Tuesday, post eclipse. At Cleveland on Friday, and hosting the Hawks on Sunday. That's a 1 p.m. tip.
So,
and the Hawks have nothing.
And
to play
neither
for,
did the Raptors.
Well, I guess the Hawks maybe are playing for home court advantage in the play-in.
We should say that it's possible that if we win this game, we could catch the Cavs, if we win the Cavs game.
We could catch...
Lots of teams. But, I mean, there's lots of stuff in the...
We're a game and a half behind Orlando, who's in third place right now.
But the Cavs would give us a full game, and if we beat them, we would also win the tiebreaker. So there's a chance to leapfrog the Cavs if we win that game. But you're right. We could still technically catch the Bucks for the second seed, technically.
Yeah, and they're tied with the Knicks for that 5 seed.
Oh, my goodness. 4 seed. This is wild.
So, and the Knicks are without Julius Randle. Right.
A lot can happen.
And then only a half game to Orlando.
Here's what I think we should do, and this is just my opinion here. I think if we win out, then we just see where the chips fall, you know? But we should win out.
Oh,
we should just hot we game. Should win out.
We should win games.
Which we did what was our preseason predictions? Nobody picked 48 if we were to win out. I think I picked 46, 47, something like that, and I was on the high end. So
you were the high man.
So this would be an incredible even if we win 47, it would be the highest prediction of any what we thought was going to happen this season. And we've talked about, you know, the handful of really rough games we've lost, you know, that if there were probably five games we definitely want back. And if we had those back, we'd be currently in the second seed. So, an amazing season so far to this point, based on what the expectation.
What I was saying before was we went 3-1 this week, and the one loss was against a team we had just shellacked and
should have really beat.
It sounds like the team
should
have beat that team. You know, it sounds like they had maybe done some things that prevented them from being in top form. And yeah, maybe we could be second in the East right now.
Oh my goodness! Well, there's still time. We are 7-3 in our last 10. And really looking at a chance to sweep out the rest of the season. These are beatable teams. Like I said, let the Bucks lose out. Let the Magic and the Knicks lose out. Let's get the second seed. Why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, that at Cleveland game is going to be a heck of a measuring stick going into the postseason. That's an awfully good team that has battled a lot of injuries and is looking to be healthy now. So there is nothing pushover.
That will be a playoff game for sure.
Yep.
I was at the preseason game against the Cavs, and it looked like a playoff game.
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna be pretty sweet.
That's all why right, I was team, counting well, that as one of our wins earlier.
Sure.
I miscounted how many wins we had.
I mean, it seemed like it, for sure. Well, we'll be back with you on Thursday. Until then, you can find us on the internet, on social media. We are on Twitter @Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can use that to send us a message and email. shoutout@theunbeatables.com, and at the website /store is where the merch lives.
For the architect, Donnie Walsh, and our once in a Hall of Fame coach, Bobby Sick Leonard, and our once in a always Hall of Fame mascot, Boomer. Turn out the lights, the party's over. I gotta clean it up. You guys reminded me that I was doing Boomer when I was listening last week. You reminded me that I was doing Boomer for a while. I abandoned him because it was too rough, and also it seemed like he had died. But he's back. He's back, baby.
Well, they did the old switcheroo, the old Weekend at Bernie's over All-Star Weekend.
They did. They wheeled him out.
Now they got a new fresh.
They did. They wheeled him out at All-Star Weekend.
A baby boomer, as my son calls one of his many boomer dolls. Well, he has three different boomer stuffies, and they're all different sizes. One, the smallest one is baby boomer.
Sure.
Nice. Very
makes
clever.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Mama Boomer and Daddy Boomer.
Makes sense to me.
So, yeah.
So you told them where little boomers come from?
No. I'm not. I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
It's a lot of boomer sex. That's where it comes from.
You know, I don't know why I opened that door for you.
Yep, that one's
when
on you,
one
bud.
Boomer loves another boomer.
Yeah. That's on me. My bad, guys.
Is surgery more complex than duct tape?